Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, and happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide, and absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And by the way, it is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled. We're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. Friday, quick recap of yesterday's show, still available online at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. Spread the word. We had our guest on, Brian Rust, doing a phenomenal job. RustCoinAndGift.com. Over the past 50 years, Brian and his family have been working hard to educate customers about precious metals, about taking possession of those metals. Brian really and his family have been constitutional currency folks for a long time. Bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, you got a friend in the coin business, Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com. And by the way, his Honest Money Report is tremendous, kind of breaking down what's happening with gold and silver and the spot price versus the reality price when you take possession of your metals and more. We talked about Happy Veterans Day, originally Armistice Day. It's a federal holiday in the United States, usually honored on November the 11th to honor our veterans. And I kind of, on one hand, want to say, you know, Happy Veterans Day to everybody. I get it. But I want to be very careful that we don't glorify the warrior. Okay, sadly, today we become a warlike people. I reject that notion. I get that when somebody serves their country, we ought to have gratitude for their service. And you could say, well, only when they're serving right, Sam. Yes and no. I agree with the general point. But you know what? A lot of people go with these grandiose ideas that, you know what, they're serving their country. They come back disenchanted going, whoa, wait a minute. Hold on now. Hold on, operator. This isn't what I signed up for. And I think that's what most Americans are having a rude awakening about right now. They're like, hey, let the politics take care of itself. Well, hold on. Now I'm a terrorist because I don't want perverted sex taught in my school. Hold on now. And people are waking up in droves. But really, the soldiers, same scenario. They go out with stars in their eyes going, hey, I'm gonna fight for the greatest country on the face of the earth, by golly. I'm going to protect freedom. And they come back going, hey, man, I've been betrayed. This isn't what I was, right? And that happens and happens. So how do we give gratitude to the soldier for their service? How do we not promote war and become a warlike people? How do we not put the soldier on a pedestal? Most soldiers, when they come home and you put them on a pedestal, they're like, hey, you know what? War's horrible. Don't call me no hero. So how do we balance all that? It's very difficult. So I want to say Happy Veterans Day yesterday to everybody. I also want to be very careful and cautious, and I really want to be appropriate about highlighting what we ought to honor, what we ought to hold dear, what we ought to be grateful for, but at the same time, what we ought to advocate for, which is peace, not war. Heroes are men that go to war when they must, but don't glorify or relish war by any means. We also need to be very clear about when somebody gets sent off to war, they come back with all kinds of now deficiencies because of the war. We owe them, ladies and gentlemen. We sent them there. And I'm not a socialist, but I will say there needs to be equity for equity in that regard. All right, by the way, we talked about inflation, transitory versus persistent. The debate rages on. Now Joe Biden and crew are forced to leave the transitory word out of the discussion because everybody's realizing and admitting now finally that inflation's here to stay. And what they need to really admit is inflation's been here ever since we jettisoned constitutional currency, okay? Let's be very clear. It's the hidden tax that has abused us all for our whole lives and longer. All right? A silver eagle silver dollar used to be equivalent to a paper dollar. Now it takes 35 paper dollars to get a single silver dollar. Why? Yeah, have I made my point? Good, thanks. By the way, they say, is crypto the future of money, or is it the biggest scam? I say that it's both. Sadly, it's going to be the future of money because they want to take you all online so they can control everybody in your life. Gold and silver and freedom and metal in your hand doesn't allow for that decentralization. They don't like that, right? The gold and silver decentralizes. They're not going to allow for that. They want to have digital currency where it's centrally controlled. They control it all. So we're headed to crypto. Even governments are headed to crypto, ladies and gentlemen. They backhanded led us all into the digital movement thinking we're advocating for freedom. The big betrayal, bait, and switch will happen. Write it down and remember who warned you first, okay? I will also say that this crypto is disaster. It's a scam. There's no doubt about it. It's a sham. It's nothing but fiat currency taken to a new centralized control level under the guise that pretended that it's decentralized via the blockchain. Write it down. Everybody else says you're crazy, Sam, but I'm a tech guy, and I'm telling you, you'll find out that I'm right. Here's why U.S. supply chain problems will only get worse, and that we gave the list of that, big detailed. Check out yesterday's program for more. We talked about the, quote, everything shortage is the beginning of the end, no doubt about that. We talked about the Biden administration will most likely rely on informants to enforce its COVID-19 vaccinations on businesses. Experts now say that's a serious sham, ladies and gentlemen, where you should be helping your neighbor, loving your neighbor, serving your neighbor. Now they want you just to rat on your neighbor, turn your neighbor in. Nazi Germany on steroids in America today if we fall for that lie. Hour two, we talked about just who is Kimberly Guilfoyle. Now this is Donald Trump Jr.'s latest girlfriend, right? But she was the first lady of San Francisco back in 2001. Because she married Governor Gavin Newsom. Well, he wasn't governor at the time. He was mayor of San Francisco, don't you know? But now he's Governor Newsom. So Guilfoyle worked at Fox News from like 2006 to 2018, right? Co-hosted The Five on the network. So this girl literally was with Newsom. Some of the most radical people. That's who she was married to. Now she's Donald Trump Jr.'s serious girlfriend. They bought a house together. They're probably getting married. Who knows? But anyway, there you have it. Donald Jr. jettisoned his wife, Vanessa, who he had five children with. Now he's with Kimberly. And she's a political head from the liberal wing, big time. Very, very strange. I don't know if I dare say bedfellows here because that gets weird fast. Yeah, Newsom's vanishing act, by the way. Speaking of Governor Gavin Newsom, I guess he had a horrific COVID shot reaction. And that's a serious problem indeed, because two reports now have linked his long disappearance to COVID shots and the reaction that he got. The source said Newsom's symptoms were very similar to that Guillain-Barre syndrome thing that people get. So there you have that. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. even speaking out on it, going, hey, man, you know what? If it's true that the governor has suffered injuries or, you know, following this grave the situation, it's horrible. He's asking kids and adults by force to go through the same thing he went through. Shame on him. This is serious. I agree. It's impeachable kind of stuff. We better dig in and expose the fraud. It's finally happening, ladies and gentlemen. Trump is officially launching Truth Social, they say. It's a social media site, quote, follow the truth is their slogan. And Truth Social, they say, is America's, quote, big tent social media platform that encourages an open, free, and honest global conversation, ladies and gentlemen, without discriminating against political ideology. You can join the waiting list now. So I've heard for months that he's launching a network of some kind, but then every time I turn around, I hear, oh, you can join the waiting list. Oh, it's not really happening. Oh, it's not here yet. The desk of President Trump was a flash in the pan and went away too. But if you read the terms of service, it's not as easy as you think. It's not as freedom loving as you think. They can shut you down for any reason they choose. So it just means that instead of doing it Twitter style with Jack Dorsey or Facebook style with your favorite friend at Facebook, it's now Trump style with Trump. That's the only difference. All right, Ron Paul says Pfizer CEO Albert Bulla critics are criminals. Pfizer CEO Albert Bulla says that vaccine refusers are murderous criminals who seek to stop the new way of life trying to come in. What is he talking about, new way of life? Is this just a fact on vaccine, or do they have an agenda here? He virtually admitted to it backhanded. Who's going to drill him down on that? You got to put him on Liberty Roundtable Live. I'll do it. They say it's even possible to receive vaccines and not develop antibodies, says Dr. Ramirez. And then he goes on and blames it on the immune system. It's your immune system's fault, not the failure of the vaccine. What a sham that is. New data was released by the CDC, by the way, showing that vaccinated people infected by the Delta variant can carry detectable viral loads similar to those who are not vaccinated. We're getting more and more info, intel about how fake and bogus these vaccines really are. They're nothing but a bioweapon unleashed on the whole world, led by Donald Trump of the United States of America. Operation Warp Speed sold us down the river, baby. Now Joe Biden carries the ball for Donald, right? Yeah, Moderna's vaccine, they say, creates twice as many antibodies as Pfizer's vaccine. A new study in JAMA comes out to document that. So would one vaccine be much more safe and effective than the other then? I thought antibodies were the key. Yeah, the only problem is they don't know how many antibodies you got to have to be safe and effective, Sam. We don't have any idea at all. All right, so what are we measuring against? Well, we don't really know, Sam. We know that more's better. Well, we're not really sure if more's better. It could be better. We don't really know, Sam. But if you don't get vaccinated, you're a criminal. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you better fight for your freedom while you can, or you're going to lose it all. I'll tell you that right now. Quick pause. Our guest comes up in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
And our co-host slash guest today, Chris Carlson, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Yes, sir. Without God, we can never win. Sam, with God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson, reporting for duty, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, January 6th was the event. They claim it was a terrorist event. They say it was an insurrection led by the Donald. And an overthrow, and at least an attempted overthrow of the government. They used that as their ploy to not dig into vote fraud, jettison it, and certify all the votes in a panic. Democrats complaining Republicans were in on it. Everybody arguing about it. No one releasing real information on it. Fraudulent investigations moving forward regarding it. And the abuse continues. Understand this is on the heels of the big dossier lie, where they attacked the Donald for a couple of years over this dossier turning out complete bogus. Now they're into this. Time will vindicate this. January 6th lie is complete bogus. 99% of the people there were good, honest Americans seeking to get to the truth and using the checks and balances to make that happen, influencing their congressmen and senators, working with the president, the chief executive of the land, to advocate for proper role of checks and balances, investigations. But the people were betrayed on January 6th, ladies and gentlemen. But we're gaining greater knowledge about the government's foreknowledge and instigation of all things that went wrong on January 6th. That's right, government agents, government provocateurs, mystery men. The tale is strange, and you say, well, Sam, that's conspiracy theory stuff. Lies, stop. It is not conspiracy theory. It is reality. It's making its way into Congress. We're talking about the mystery man, ladies and gentlemen. You say, who the heck is that? Meet Ray Epps. He's a provocateur that literally led us into, quote, battle on that day. Revolver.news has an incredible expose on this, replete with facts and details and timelines and videos from the event to prove their points. Very well documented. Great reporting by Revolver. And we're going to break this down for you on your radio. Let's start out by Thomas Massie in Congress asking Garland, this chief thug, who has been over a lot of these scandalous cases, by the way, they're having a conversation on the congressional floor about this man, Ray Epps, and about government provocateurs literally being on the ground, leading the charge for violence, leading the charge to breach the Capitol and commit these acts that they claim is treasonous, etc. Okay, and this man, Ray Epps, is one of the key people that leads it all. Here's the exchange.
There's a concern that there were agents of the government or assets of the government present on January 5th and January 6th during the protests. And I've got some pictures that I want to show you, if the my staff could bring those to you.
I'm afraid I can't see that at all.
All right, you have those images there, and they're captioned. They were from January 5th and January 6th. As far as we can determine, the individual who was saying he'll probably go to jail, he'll probably be arrested, but they need to go into the Capitol the next day, is then the next day directing people to the Capitol. And as far as we can find, this individual has not been charged with anything. You said this is one of the most sweeping investigations in the history. Have you seen that video or those frames from that video?
So as I said at the outset, one of the norms of the Justice Department is to not comment on impending investigations, and particularly not to comment about particular scenes or particular individuals.
I was hoping today to give you an opportunity to put to rest the concerns that people have that there were federal agents or assets of the federal government present on January 5th and January 6th. Can you tell us, without talking about particular incidents or particular videos, how many agents or assets of the federal government were present on January 6th, whether they agitated to go into the Capitol, and if any of them did?
So I'm not going to violate this norm of the rule of law. I'm not going to comment on an investigation that's ongoing.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Ray Epps is the man we'll focus on this incredible Revolver.news article. Chris, let's start there, sir.
Yeah, so it's interesting that Merrick Garland even showed up for the hearing, Sam, because obviously he couldn't say anything, especially when confronted with inconvenient facts about a clear agent provocateur, Ray Epps, who was at the Capitol, in Washington, D.C., the night before the so-called riots on January 6th, and during the riots, leading people continually repeating the expression, we need to go into the Capitol, we need to go into the Capitol. And then when confronted with that evidence by Thomas Massie, Sam, Attorney General Merrick Garland, the only thing that he could say was, as I said at the outset, one of the norms of the Justice Department is to not comment on pending investigations, and particularly not to comment on particular scenes or particular individuals. So Thomas Massie modified his question and said, can you tell us, without talking about particular incidences or particular videos, how many agents or assets of the federal government were present on January 6th? You know, so as not to talk about the case in particular or any facts pertaining to the case. And AG Garland basically repeated the same statement, saying, no, I really can't talk about it. So my question, Sam, is why did Attorney General Garland show up for the meeting in the House hearing when he couldn't say anything about it?
I'll tell you why, because if you don't show up, then everybody starts to point the finger at you like you won't show up. What you're allowed to do, though, is show up but not answer any questions honestly. Okay, when you're sworn under oath and you're equivalent of testifying, you've got to answer questions about this. And the problem is Garland's playing games here with words. He can't maybe address Ray Epps and the individual details there if there's an investigation ongoing. But the question becomes, can you basically answer this general question? Were there government assets there, and did they agitate on film the crowd? And the answer is that can be answered. Garland doesn't really even need to answer it. We have the evidence. Revolver has exposed this evidence. This Ray Epps gentleman ran around before the breach of the Capitol, the day before, and it literally advocated for that, to the point where you can see him on film through this Revolver article literally saying to people, no, listen, that grievance doesn't matter. This grievance doesn't matter. That view doesn't matter. Look, guys, you're getting off track. The goal is to breach the Capitol. He says it over and over and over. And the fact that he's not indicted to this point tells you all you need to know, Chris.
Well, even worse, he's no longer on the FBI's Capitol Violence Most Wanted list, whereas he was for 6 months, almost six whole months, starting on January 8th, 2 days after the so-called riots, and I call them so-called riots because they weren't riots. Even the agents provocateur were pretty well behaved. But mysteriously, on July 1st, Sam, and this is one of the main points that I want to emphasize, he was mysteriously moved from the FBI's Capitol Violence Most Wanted list, whereas he had been on that list for six whole months. And many people followed up with the FBI saying, yes, I know this guy. In fact, the FBI was sent videos of him, the same videos that Thomas Massie showed to Attorney General Merrick Garland. Yet, mysteriously, on July 1st, his photograph and any mention of Ray Epps was removed from the FBI's Capitol Violence Most Wanted list. Now, why did that happen?
It's interesting to note that not only did they remove that the FBI scrubbed Epps from their database, it was done 1 day after, listen to this, 1 day after Revolver News put out a damning investigative report on Epps' fellow oath keeper, Stuart Rhodes. The story of Epps, Stuart Rhodes, and other suspiciously unindicted accomplices on this, such as this maroon PB guy and others, shows a much further extensive degree of proactive federal involvement than even Revolver had anticipated. We're going to dig into this in more detail with Chris Carlson in seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Claiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The defense has rested in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Closing arguments will take place Monday, and then it will be up to a jury of our peers. A federal appeals court on Thursday has temporarily banned the National Archives from releasing some of former President Trump's records to the House Select Committee investigating January 6. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit has set oral arguments in the case for November 30th. A federal court has ordered a politicized Department of Justice to stop extracting data from the phone of Project Veritas founder James O'Keefe. The FBI claimed a search warrant was issued because of a diary of Ashley Biden, which was never published. Ashley is President Biden's daughter. According to court documents, the government must confirm by today that it has stopped the search of O'Keefe's devices. In a surprise upset, the Dolphins beat the Ravens 22-10 in last night's Thursday Night Football. USA Radio News.
With confusion around vaccinations, masks, and public screenings, it's important to know the symptoms of COVID and its variants. Fever is the leading sign, so make sure to use an accurate thermometer for your family. Only the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate with more than 100 clinical studies. Non-contact thermometers have no clinical evidence behind them and cannot be relied on. Be vigilant and be accurate with Exergen. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
Just in time for Christmas, Mike Lindell has dropped the price of the standard classic MyPillow, regularly $69.98 to $19.98. Now, queen and king size slightly higher, but that price includes a free press and pack bag so you can take your MyPillow with you anywhere. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. Support Mike Lindell and American Jobs and give MyPillow for Christmas.
As preparations for your Thanksgiving feast are probably starting to take shape, keep a heads up if chicken is on the menu. A recall has been announced.
The Food Safety and Inspection Service of the U.S. Department of Agriculture has announced Innovation Solutions is now recalling nearly 100,000 pounds of raw ground chicken patty products. The agency announced the recall of the raw chicken, saying that the Kent, Washington-based company issued the recall after receiving complaints about customers finding bones in the chicken burger product. The agency said it's concerned that some products may be stored in people's freezers, and it's urging people to not eat the meat and to dispose of it or return it to the place of purchase. The products affected by the recall include Trader Joe's chili lime chicken burgers and spinach feta chicken sliders. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
This year, Thanksgiving is officially Thursday, November 25th. USA Radio News.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have very little video, comparatively speaking, from what the government has. They've literally classified most of it. We're demanding that they release the videos so we can get more factual evidence here. But we've got enough to prove that Ray Epps literally was agent provocateur big time. And we've confirmed that the FBI literally scrubbed Epps from the Most Wanted database a day after this incredible expose, really indicting Stuart Rhodes, at least in the media, as being involved here. Now, I think there's a big difference between Ray Epps and Stuart Rhodes. Ray Epps is on camera advocating and agitating the people directly to breach the Capitol. I mean, it's as blatant as it gets. Whereas Stuart Rhodes, they claim that he's made phone calls, that he coordinated, that he did this and that. The evidence isn't near as strong against Stuart Rhodes than it is against Ray Epps. Nevertheless, Ray Epps and Stuart have been good friends forever. They work together in Oath Keepers. Same thing with this other maroon BP guy. They're all basically front and center stage for this provocateur agenda. Who's involved to what extent? We're digging into, but this Ray Epps really is the key figure right now, Chris.
Yeah, and I don't know if you mentioned, if you heard on the bottom of the hour news, they mentioned the January 6 riots. You know, part of the propaganda mechanism that they have now is they can mention this thing periodically just to remind the American people of how evil conservatives and Trump supporters are. I mean, that's part of the propaganda technique that they're using, and the precedent that they wanted to establish with the January 6 riots, so that they could continually remind American people how evil Trump supporters are. Anyway, yes. So Stuart Rhodes and Ray Epps were very tight. I saw several videos with them working together. In fact, Ray Epps was, and probably still is, a member of the Oath Keepers. And in fact, he was the president of the largest chapter of Oath Keepers in the nation, which is in Arizona. So you mentioned that. But going back to what you mentioned just before the break, Sam, there was an expose by the Revolver of Ray Epps and his relationship with Stuart Rhodes the day before they scrubbed him from the FBI's capital violence most wanted list. And that is very significant. Not only that, Sam, there was actually a New York Times piece entitled Inside the Capitol Riot, an exclusive video investigation, where they actually showed the video that we're going to show here in a minute of Ray Epps actually encouraging Trump supporters to go into the Capitol. He repeats himself several times. We need to go into the Capitol on several occasions. And that was a New York Times piece, which incidentally occurred the same day that the Revolver piece exposing Stuart Rhodes that you previously mentioned came out. And the day after, July 1st, as we mentioned, that is when Ray Epps, any mention of Ray Epps on the FBI capital violence most wanted list was scrubbed. And that's not coincidental. So the American people were becoming familiar with this individual, Ray Epps. And the mainstream media knew that there would be questions arising surrounding him. Why, for 6 months, the FBI has known about him. They have been given leads by multiple sources. They knew where he lived. They knew his background. There was nothing mysterious about this man and how the authorities could bring him into custody. Yet they did not act. For 6 months, they did not act on that information. There are a couple of other triggers. I don't know if we need to get into the details on these. 2 weeks before July 1st, there was a viral Twitter thread. Did you want to get into that?
Yeah, here's what you need to know, ladies and gentlemen. The takeaway of this is the government not only has these provocateurs at their behest, evidence is there that they're working together, that these organizations have been infiltrated by some top, very interesting government asset people. All these people have military backgrounds. They're all linked with one another. They were all there at key junction points the day before and the day of this January 6th rally. They are working together in very unique ways that we've caught on camera now. The government says, well, we can't talk about any of this, but yet they're in real time making moves to bury history, to change reality, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about real-time stuff where the government's actively, in my opinion, indicting themselves. Why would you take Ray Epps off the most wanted and then say, well, I can't talk about it because it's an investigation? Well, wait a minute. If he got removed from the most wanted list, then there's no investigation anymore, right? Or are we saying that we're still investigating him, but he's not most wanted anymore? What are we saying? See, and you can't even get Garland to explain that to us. What does that mean? If you took him off the most wanted list, is the investigation of him over? If he was on the most wanted list, you know he's being investigated, so that's not in debate. But if he got removed, is the investigation over? Well, I can't answer that, sir. It might be an investigation. But what are you talking? See, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting to the bottom of this. And we're finding out the truth, which is the government instigated this with their provocateurs. The details are very interesting. Chris, go through this video evidence here and some more of the details of the article. The article is incredibly long. It is good, and it is detailed, really connecting a lot of dots. They've done a tremendous job.
Yeah, so I think at this juncture, we should probably play the video if you've got that queued up. It is informative. And just note how many times Ray Epps says we have to go into the Capitol with an emphasis on into. Just listen to that. And, you know, that's just strange behavior from somebody who just wants to get social justice, you know, for an obviously rigged election, which Donald Trump won, hands down. You know, why is there so much emphasis on going into the Capitol? Because that is, they want to get the goods on the people. And I don't doubt, in fact, I'll just read really quick what the Revolver article mentioned. I think this is instructive. They talk about federal assets or FBI assets. They say students of FBI history should quickly absorb the lesson that infiltrating feds are like roaches. Whenever you spot one, it's guaranteed that there are dozens others nearby. Feds simply never, ever operate alone. This is how you end up with, and then he makes reference to previous false flag events. And he talks about the 12 FBI informants in a tiny right-winged Michigan militia plot from October 2020, which you and I, Sam, covered in June, I think. And then he talks about the 15 informants in the right-winged Malheur. You were there at the 2016 Malheur plot, Malheur Wildlife. You were up there, and then the Bundy Ranch affair. He talks about all these informants that have been exposed. And he's right. There were probably dozens and dozens of FBI informants and assets at the J6 riots. Well, riots in air quotes, I should mention. But we don't have the goods on any of these others. But there is overwhelming evidence that this man, Ray Epps, was an asset. Otherwise, he wouldn't have behaved in the way he behaved.
All right,
otherwise,
let's prove it. Which clip do you want, the first or the second one?
Let's go with the first one, please.
All right, the first clip, Cameron's queuing it up and starts now.
Tomorrow, we need to go into the Capitol. Into the Capitol.
What?
Tomorrow, I don't even like to say it because I'll be arrested.
Well, let's not say it.
I'll say it.
All right.
We need to go in.
Shut the fuck up, Boomer.
To the Capitol. The president is just speaking. We are going to the Capitol. Where our problems are. It's that direction. Yeah. He spread the word.
All right. No, okay, but one more thing.
Yeah, sir, can we go up there? No?
When we go in.
Are we going to get arrested if we go up
here.
There?
Yeah. You don't need to get
Did
shot.
You arrest us all?
Thank you, Cameron. All right, that's enough of that clip. Ladies and gentlemen, that's enough of that clip. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the deal. Ray Epps literally saying, hey, we need to go to the Capitol. Literally, that's multiple occasions pointing. It's a bunch of clips put together, basically, showing you how much he said this and what he did. He pointed people in the direction. He urged people to go straight to the Capitol. He urged, that's where our problems are. He said, I'll get arrested if I say this. Then one patriot's like, hey, then don't say it. That just proves that most people are peaceful. He's like, well, if you're going to get arrested for saying something, don't do it. And Ray's like, you know, I'm going to say it anyway. Right? What on earth is going on here? But you see this blatantly as it's carried out, Chris.
Yeah, and I don't know if you caught, when we played the previous clip where Thomas Massie is interrogating Attorney General Merrick Garland, there was one part where you heard the word fed, repeated over. I don't know if you picked up on that. It was kind of a bad recording, obviously, when it's a recording of a recording. But at that point, somebody identified Ray Epps as a federal infiltrator. And he was trying to warn the other people, hey, this guy's an infiltrator. We need to be careful of him. So he keeps repeating fed. Apparently didn't work, you know, because Ray Epps, I mean, he looks the look. He acts the act. I mean, by all indications, he was a genuine Trump supporter. But there's
all right, ladies and gentlemen, you also hear later in that clip one of the guys saying, hey, are we allowed to go up here? Are we going to get arrested if we do? Patriots were trying to find out the truth, and they couldn't get clarity on what they could or could not even do. The evidence becomes clear with Revolver.News. In-depth reporting, ladies and gentlemen.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education, conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious business. I'm telling you right now. The question is, does the FBI now, or has it ever maintained a formal or informal relationship or point of contact with Stuart Rhodes, directly or indirectly through intermediaries? What about Ray Epps? Okay, we got to ask these serious questions. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I think that we can really point to a setup here. And if the government won't answer these questions, we're going to have to simply say that that proves they're part of the setup. Would you agree, Chris?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We don't know, Sam, how much they're being paid or what other compensation they're receiving. But we know it exists. We know secret combinations exist. And we know that money can buy anything, including one's eternal soul. I mean, I believe people relinquish or jeopardize their eternal souls when they enter into secret relationships, like I believe that Ray Epps has entered into. It's obvious that he's being protected, and he wouldn't be protected if he wasn't working for the dark side of government, because, you know, the evidence is there. We've gone over it. And I would say the same thing for Stuart Rhodes. For the longest time, have you ever had Stuart Rhodes on your radio broadcast, by the way, Sam?
Plenty of times.
Okay. He comes across as a genuine, constitutionally based, very patriotic individual who's just trying to restore constitutional government to this land. I'm starting to have my doubts about Stuart Rhodes. Why is he running around free? The prosecutors in the January 6th prosecution have implicated him on many, many counts. Do you want to go through those counts?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. So there's a list. The revolver, in fact, this talks about your, well, this goes to the expose that we mentioned that Revolver did on June 30th, the day before Ray Epps was removed from the Capitol Riot's most wanted list. And it turns out that Stuart Rhodes has many, many connections, according to the prosecution, Sam. You know, not just according to hearsay accusations, but according to the prosecution, Stuart Rhodes, and I'll just read these. There's a long list. Be patient with me. He established the Oath Keepers Conspiracy. According to prosecution papers, he established the Oath Keepers Conspiracy to invade the Capitol. Rhodes, who recruited people into the conspiracy. Rhodes, who organized and gave key instructions to the conspirators. Rhodes, who suggested the use of illegal weapons, such as a collapsible baton. Rhodes, who activated the conspiracy in real time on January 6th via text messages and phone calls. Rhodes, who waited on the Capitol steps for the completion of the conspiracy from approximately, and they give a timeline. Rhodes, who later congratulated everyone on a conspiracy well done. These are all court documents implicating Stuart Rhodes' involvement with this conspiracy to invade the Capitol, yet he's walking around free. Now
I will say one thing that we need to be very careful of, and I am actually a friend of Stuart Rhodes. I consider him a friend. Now, compared to some, I may not know him as well as others or whatever else, but I am pretty hesitant about the Stuart Rhodes things. I've been on the speaking stage with him. I have met him and spent some time with him. I have seen him in places in person. I've had him on the radio with me plenty of times. And my hesitation about this is all the information we have that you highlighted is from the prosecution.
Yes.
And so we're missing a serious point of the other side of the story. And almost all the information we have about this comes from your government. So let's be very clear there as well and very careful. For example, they go into a lot of this detail about, hey, you know, I don't know if you know what Signal is, but Signal is an encrypted app that people communicate on, supposedly so the government can't find out what you're saying or doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then in all the evidence that's put forth, the government was able to get the Signal communications, right?
Yes, as we know.
Okay, so let's be very clear, ladies and gentlemen. I've told you, and I will tell you again, when people are on these applications thinking that their digital, quote, encrypted communications can't be accessed by the government, well, this just proves that isn't true. If yes. Stuart Rhodes communicated on Signal, then it would have been encrypted and the government couldn't get at the information, right? But the government literally says we got all this encrypted information indicting Stuart Rhodes. The prosecution says this from Signal. So how does that work? The answer is, it's just as I've been telling you for years, and everybody else said, oh, Sam, you got to get a hold of some technical people that can help you understand this. And I laughed and said, I'm a tech guy for a living, you idiots. I've been warning you and telling you this forever, and now you got positive proof that I'm telling the truth. Let me say that again. You have positive proof that I'm telling the truth, baby.
And I'm not a tech guy, Sam, but even I know that, and I've been reading
a book. You think the government doesn't have access to your communications, you're off your rocker, stupid, okay? All right, now let's continue here, though. So I want to be very careful, though. I'm not ready to indict Stuart Rhodes over this. I know what the government's saying. I know what the prosecution says. I've read Revolver's information. But we need to be very careful because we have Ray Epps on camera advocating for this. We have allegations that Stuart Rhodes was involved in a bunch of phone calls and organizational realities. But Stuart did not breach the Capitol and did not encourage anybody to breach the Capitol publicly that we have record of at all, right, Chris?
And here's the thing, Sam. I'm not ready to throw Stuart Rhodes under the bus either. He may be completely innocent, but there may be infiltrators into the organization that he created, the Oath Keepers, who can be implicated as co-conspirators in this operation.
Without a doubt. And I think even Stuart might, you know, Stuart's not going to betray any of his people. But even Stuart's going to say, hey, if people have broken the law, let's hold them accountable. He said that on my radio program.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm just separating this, though, because I don't want the Patriots to think that I'm attacking Stuart or that I'm defending Stuart. You know what? At this point, I don't know. But I know he's a friend, and I'd be pretty shocked if Stuart's is kingpin in this betrayal, as we think. I don't. So far, I just don't see it.
But the thing that I'd like to point out is why is this investigation or this prosecution, being inconsistent? If they're going to implicate Stuart Rhodes, why don't they arrest him? Why don't they bring him into custody? That's the question I have. You know, you be consistent.
Remember, he's a Yale-trained attorney, too. So the government may not want to bring him in because they know that it's going to expose. If you get a Stuart Rhodes angry, and he's a well-known Yale-trained attorney, plus a military man, so he's got a lot of knowledge in a lot of these areas, what he might do is expose the government, and they don't want to get exposed, so they're leaving him alone. That's a very distinct possibility as well.
Oh, he doesn't come across as a Yale man.
He's not, but he graduated from Yale, and he's an attorney. I'm telling you that right now. Go look it up. But here's what I'm saying, though. It's the same reason that they dismissed the Ammon Bundy case in Vegas. Do you think they dismissed it because they love Ammon and because they wanted the truth and because they knew the FBI was a bunch of fraudsters? No, they dismissed it because Ammon Ammon and Ryan and several others were literally forcing enough stuff on the record to where the government didn't want to get exposed. So they're like, we're going to back out of this one. We know happened there. So I'm saying the same thing could be the reality check here as well.
Well, I think there was some divine intervention with Ammon Bundy. I think the Lord knew that he had a mission to fulfill outside of jail. Otherwise, he would have spent the rest of his life in prison. And Ammon Bundy is definitely, I'll lay my reputation on the fact that Ammon Bundy is clean through and through. He's a good man. I've never met him, but I'd like to. But yeah, no.
To meet who?
Ammon Bundy.
You've never met Ammon?
Well, I've spoken with him on the phone. That's about as close
All right.
to.
All right, we'll fix that. We'll work on that. Ammon's a great guy. I defend Ammon Bundy. I publicly in writing endorsed Ammon Bundy for governor of the great state of Idaho. So there you have that. But the real question remains, though, hey, Stuart Rhodes, Ray Epps, whoever these leaders are, BP or Maroon BP, whatever, do they have a relationship with the FBI? Have they ever now? Or have they ever maintained a formal or informal relationship with any of these men? And do any other federal counterintelligence agencies, we can go through a litany of them, but do they or have they ever had an informal or formal relationship, whether it be direct or through mediaries? You got to really make your questions broad or they'll deny no, or they'll claim no, but later you'll find out the answer might be yes. So this is very serious questions. Ray Epps, to me, seems like he's agent provocateur number one right now. Everybody's pointing to Stuart as if he's just as involved as Ray, but I factually don't see that. I really don't. And I'm not just on a big old bender to defend Stuart Rhodes either, so don't attack me for that. I'm just telling you, the evidence is very strong on video that we just played against Ray Epps. Now, there's not near the evidence like that on Stuart Rhodes, except for if you believe the government busted the signal encrypted communications and the government's the one to be relied upon. Be very careful there, too, ladies and gentlemen, or you'll be deceived and betrayed. And I'm just telling you right now, if I have to take government prosecution documentation of encrypted or decrypted signal communications, which was supposed to not be able to even happen, according to the, quote, tech leaders or whatever, okay, am I going to take that evidence or am I going to take Stuart? I'm going to side with Stuart until I have hard evidence. Ray has that hard evidence. Stuart does not.
Yeah.
And I know Revolver's ready to attack them both, but we need to be very careful there. All right. Final tidbit on this. You got a couple of minutes to wrap this up, Chris.
Okay, so you'll notice that I entitled today's segment, The Parable of the Wheat and Tares, Can You Tell the Difference? And I don't know if you know anything about the difference between wheat and tares. It's obviously, this is a reference to a biblical parable. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. You know, on this earth, Sam, it's hard to tell who are the good guys and who are the bad guys, and I think that's what that parable is all about. And the bad guys are just as important as the good guys in this test that we call mortality. And it's up to the good guys, you and me, Sam, to try to warn other good guys and gals that there are tares among us, and we need to be very careful that we don't get sucked into their agendas. Ray Epps, I believe, was a tare. He sucked a lot of good people, a lot of the wheat, into this agenda that is now landing them in jail for who knows how long, and some in solitary confinement. They should have listened to their conscience. We talked about conscience last week. They should have listened to their conscience. Out these strange voices that are out there.
That isn't the voice that I want to listen to, right?
That is not the voice that you want to listen to.
And
yes,
Ray Epps literally advocating for this publicly. Why is Ray free?
Why is Ray free? Good question.
I haven't asked that a gazillion times more than Stuart.
We need to connect the dots, and we need to trust in God. Quit trusting in man. I don't care how brilliant a speech giver he is, and I know who... I won't mention any names. God, or Sam, without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson and liberty-loving Americans everywhere, continuing our duty, sir.
The Mystery Man, meet Ray Epps, revolver.news if you want to learn more and read it all yourself and watch the videos and the context and everything else. Make up your own mind on this, folks. That's what we like to do, transparency, reality, and accountability. That's Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. The truth shall set you free. For Chris and Sam, we declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Donate today. God save the Republic.